welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week. We're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 30. The Lord Jesus has come down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. He finds this man that is questioning, and also the religious leadership of the day are questioning there with the disciples that remain. Turns out it's the man's boy that is demon-possessed, and it's been that way with him since he was a child. The Lord Jesus comes down and asks them about, you know, what's going on? What are y'all talking about? What's happening here? They tell him that they can't. The disciples tell him that he can't. They can't cast the demon out. The Lord challenges the folks about their faith in him. He asks the man again how long it's been so, and he says from the time he was little. The man begs for compassion from the Lord Jesus if there's anything that can be done to help them. And the Lord says in verse number 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And again, believe, faith, trust, have confidence in, rest in, look to, all of that in the scripture is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all pointing and directing towards him. And the man declares, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And even with we who are saved, we have times like that where we, we have believed in the Lord. He saved us, and we trust in him. But then, when we're assailed with things of this life, our faith being weak, and we can look around at circumstances and situations like Peter did when he got out on the water, and we can look to ourselves and our inability, and get our eyes off the Lord, and our faith in him begin to waver, and then we are just beginning to be swallowed up by those things that are at hand. And so the man is honest here. He said, Lord, I believe in you. I brought my son to your disciples because you weren't here. He didn't say that, but that's what happened. He was looking for the Lord Jesus. But help thou mine unbelief, because it's that way with us. The Lord cast out the deaf and dumb spirit, and the boy is relieved of that. They think that he is dead. He is not. The Lord lifts him up, and then the disciples ask, why couldn't we do it? They were used to having been able to do it. And the Lord said that this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And so there has to be a great power with God. There has to be a great communication and relationship with the Lord, prayer and fasting, and approving of the Lord and his power has got to be in that disciple's life for this to be able to come about. And of course, the Lord Jesus is God. He's not a disciple like we are, but he is God. And when he came as a man, he prayed and he fasted, and of course he was able to do so. And we're taught by this also. We need the Lord. It's a bottom line. We need the Lord for living life and for obeying our Lord and what he's given us to do as his children. It says in verse 30, and they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And so the Lord goes through Galilee, the region of his growing up. And of course, growing up in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, down in Judah, but he passes through there. He did so secretly for some reason. And then he taught his disciples about what's going to happen to him. He's going to be delivered into the hands of men. He's going to be delivered into the hands of the religious leadership of the Jews, and then they're going to deliver him over to Pilate, and as we know, and he said, they're going to kill me. Okay, they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. So he's going to be killed, he's going to be delivered over, he's going to be killed by them, and then he's going to rise the third day. So the Lord Jesus knew what he came to do and what he was going to do, and none of that befell him by chance or happenstance or so forth. It came upon him as it was foreordained it would be, for so that he could be the perfect and complete Savior for his people, for sinners. And so they didn't understand that, it says, but they understood not that saying, verse 32, and were afraid to ask him. So they didn't understand what he was saying, and they were fearful to say, Lord, what do you mean by that? And of course, it just shows, it reinforces once again that naturally the thing that we fear is death, and well, we should, because we are it's in us, we are created to live and to desire life. Yet how can death ever be good? Is, you know, the way, the wrestling that we have, natural man has. But it is good that the Lord Jesus Christ entered into death and abolished death and defeated death, so that he might be the first fruits among those that raised from the dead. So many things that the Lord accomplished in his gospel and sacrifices himself, his body, his shed blood for our sins. He paid for his people's sins upon the cross of Calvary, and all that would believe in him and trust in him and repent before God. And so he did that, that sacrificial atoning work, but then also he to be the sacrifice, he died indeed, but then also in dying he entered into that into death, the greatest enemy that we have naturally, and he entered into death, and he did die, and he defeated death, and by the, not a word that we use often, but by imputation, the power of God is such that the Lord, having defeated death, he can grant and give that defeat unto others, those that he saves, those that come to him in repentance and faith, and that he saves their soul. He gives that defeating of death that he accomplished unto them. It's imputed. It's given. It's a gift. It's part of the gift that is spoken about in John 3:16, everlasting life, not death, but everlasting life. Yes, the body will go ahead and die, but the soul will not die eternally in hell and lake of fire. And so what a wondrous thing that our Lord has done for us in the completing of his gospel. And our brethren, they understood not what he's talking about. They're afraid to ask him. Why are they afraid to ask? Well, sometimes we're just that way. To think that Jesus, you know, their viewpoint is to think that Jesus would die when they are so enjoying his presence and his teaching and his ministry and the miracles and the greatness of God that is being there amongst them. Why would anyone want that to come to an end, would be their thinking. But the Lord needed to accomplish those things that were necessary. The time of his ministry was a time that he was penned up to show that he is the suitable Savior and the Savior of the world, meaning the only Savior of the world. Many have claimed to be Saviors, but they are not. It's only the Lord Jesus that is the Savior of the world. He's the only one in that class and category. There are no others. And so he needed to be pinned up, but then he needed to come to death and deal with death. And this about the Lord being the first fruits of the resurrection, he's the one that rose from the dead first. And we, his children, and the saints that have died over the millennia, or as the scripture says, and as the Lord Jesus speaks of it, they are asleep in Christ, or they rest in Christ, they will come back from the dead also. Their spirits presently are with the Lord in heaven in glory, but they will be reunited with their bodies as our Lord rose from the dead, so will we. And then it says in verse 33, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed amongst yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And so, as it is with men and even the disciples, these closest, these called by the Lord and sent forth by him, his apostles, the foundation of his church, the scripture tells us, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, they are the ones they are that transition team, as one brother has said years ago. They are saved by the Lord. They're Jews. They're called by the Lord to this apostleship, and they are that that will continue to carry on in the church, the leadership in the church, the first leadership in the church, to continue to establish the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church going forward. That they are the ones, they being closest to the Lord and so involved with his ministry and near his ministry and hearing his teaching, which they will in time will teach to others, they wrangle amongst themselves about who's going to be the chief, who's going to be the greatest. And you know, we need to take a lesson from that we don't need to worry. None of us needs to worry about who's the greatest amongst one another. The Lord Jesus tells, and he's going to tell, that the greatest is the one that's willing to serve all others. That's the greatest. Because see, who is truly the greatest amongst us? Is it not the Lord Jesus that came and lived amongst them, these brethren, these disciples? He is the greatest. He's the creator and he's the judge. He's the Alpha and the Omega, he tells us in the Revelation, in John's Revelation. He's the beginning and the end. And what did he do? He came to serve. So if the Lord Jesus came to serve, God the Son came to serve, and he is the greatest, we call him master, and well, he is, then why should we look to be the greatest in that human way? We need to be the greatest by obedience to our Lord and following his example of being a servant. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.